This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome along. It's another edition of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube show brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. I'm Nigel Seeley. I'm joined, as per usual, on a Sunday afternoon to look ahead to three tennis tournaments this week is our senior ATP Tour handicapper. It's Sean Calvert. Sean, I know you've come on since, I think, for about the last 3 weeks. You've had a bit of an illness, and you seem to have another setback today.
Yeah, I've supposedly, all my friends keep telling me I've got this thing called 100 days cough, which I'd never heard of. And I must admit, I haven't Googled it. But I suspect it's not a wind-up because these people don't know each other. They're all entirely different people, friends of mine and stuff. But apparently it starts with a sore throat like I had, and then it moves into your chest and you're coughing. You're coughing for 100 days, basically. So I've got, by my reckoning, I've got about another 95 to go. So by the time we get to Madrid, I might be all right. But yeah, it's not been a good sort of couple of months for my health, that is for sure. But there you go.
First of all, it's hope you don't have the 100-day cough and hope you recover from that quickly, because you know you're on duty for us in a couple of weeks time, or 3 weeks time, over in Indian Wells. So we want you fit and ready for that. We also want you fit and ready to be as winners. But the one person I do feel sorry, if you've got a cough for 100 days and you're feeling under the world, I do feel very sorry for Natasha. I really do. No, she doesn't get much sympathy on this show. Oh, Sean, if you've got a cough for 100 days, I think you're not feeling under weather. I think it's going to be tough. It's going
to
be a tough.
I did say the other day that she should probably invest in a pair of earplugs. But
yeah,
I've slept in earplugs now for quite a few years, because we used to have this cat and it would just wander about in the middle of the night, yowling its head off at about 1-2 o'clock in the morning for no apparent reason. So I got in the habit about 2-3 years ago of wearing earplugs, and I can't get out of the habit now. Any little thing in the middle of the night just kind of, I was going to say annoys me, but I can't be annoyed when I'm asleep, can I?
Well, I don't know.
So maybe I can.
You can.
Possibly, yeah. But I've worn earplugs for a long time, but she won't do it. She's got some sort of problem with stuffing things in her ears, apparently. So I don't know. You know, what can you do? It's not like I'm coughing on purpose just to kind of keep her away. If she wants to move into a different bedroom with some soundproofing, I'm all right with that. Don't worry about it.
Well, if you do have the 100-day cough and she's reluctant to wear earplugs, I would be the over and under around about 26 days, where she thinks, I've had enough of this, I've got to get earplugs. She's not gonna last for you coughing away for 100 days. No way.
I think it's 100 days cough. I don't think you actually physically coughing all day, every day for 100 days. It's just, it just doesn't go for like that time. So you're just kind of occasionally kind of coughing and that. And at night and in the mornings, it's the worst. In the days, it's actually not that bad. It's just sort of in the morning generally. But she'll be all right, mate. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I'm just thinking 100 days. If you're ill, it's going to be quite a tough 3 months for Natasha. You're away from
probably
you,
will
so
be. Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, let's move on to the tennis. That's what you're here for. Not that Sean's medical condition and his cough. We've got three tournaments this week. Again, very similar to last week, where we know the draw of one tournament and the other ones we're waiting on the draw because the timings, we actually haven't got that draw yet, and we haven't got the outright markets. But Bet Rivers will have the outright markets up on their website as we go on. But we'll give you enough information. We'll give you sort of point you into the best way to approach the tournaments and give you the stats on the tournaments as well. So we won't have any outright prices on those tournaments. The three tournaments in question this week are an ATP Tour 500 event in Rio, which is the biggest one of the week. We have two 250s, one in Doha in Qatar, and the other one is Los Cabos in Mexico. Now let's start with the event in Qatar, because we do have some odds on this and we do have some outright markets. And we do have the draw available. Before we go on to the draw and we break down the draw, Sean, I followed the women's event last week in Qatar. Bit windy. That caused a lot of problems for a lot of the players there. Obviously, it was won by Iga Swiatek, who won it for the third time in succession. It's not notoriously a very fast surface because, you know, hence Igor Świątek so dominant on it. She likes it slower. I think you probably wouldn't have caught the women's event last week.
But, no.
It was windy and it did play a bit of havoc, and it wasn't as fast as it has been over the last few years.
Yeah, it's often windy in Doha. It gets quite gusty. It's it can be quite calm, and then it all of a sudden it picks up, and it can put a few players off. It's played on a Plexicushion Prestige outdoor hard court. It's a reasonably paced court ish. It's not a slow court as such, I don't think. But a lot of the matches are played at night. I don't know about the women's event, but of the men's event are played at night. And if it's colder and slower at night, I think that's what makes it overall a slower sort of tournament than it would be if they were played. All the matches were played during the day. It averages 79% holds and 71.4% first serve points won. Not many tie breaks, which again leads to that theory of it not being that quick. 36% of the matches on average feature a tie break. It's not normally that great for underdog winners either. 32% kind of average to slightly below average. And in terms of the total games, 52% of the matches in the last 5 years have been under the 22 and a half games. So no massive trend there.
I was obviously, I've had dinner at the Khalifa tennis courts. I've actually been over here and had dinner. My friend Nick, who played football for Manchester City, lives literally across the street from the tennis court. So I went across the road and had dinner here when I stayed out there for the World Cup.
You know the conditions better than me then, probably.
Well, one thing I will say, I was obviously there in sort of December time, and I stayed to the new year across in Dubai, but it was quite chilly in the evening.
It does get cold at night. That's what makes it slower.
Yeah. So that the order of play here might be very important to look at the order of play.
It is, definitely, yeah.
So if you're an early start, then obviously it'll be quite a little bit quicker in the evening, where that wind and the cold may have a havoc on the conditions. And the order of play will be announced tomorrow. Before we come on to the order of play, 6:30 a.m. the matches start tomorrow. We look at the outright market and let's look at the previous winners here. See if it's give us some kind of a look at who's won before. Medvedev won it last year. He beat Andy Murray in the final, if I can remember rightly. Andy Murray had a great run to the final. Bautista Agut won it in 2022. He's also won it in 2019. Bashilashvili won it in 2020. I'm just shocked there. Rublev, who's in action, the number one seed this week, won it in 2020. And Gael Monfils is another player who's done well here. He won it in 2018. If you go back further than that, Roger Federer was very popular here, but it was a tournament and it probably didn't have the quality as what it had. Did this used to be a 500 event?
I recall. It's just a very rich 250. I mean, the prize fund here is what? 1.5 million. It's a rich event. I don't recall it being a 500. I've got some trends if you want them.
Yeah, I'm going to come on to it. I just thought if you looked at the fields before, there was a lot stronger than I suppose. Like,
it's moved as well in the calendar. It used to be one of the first tournaments of the year, so it has moved around a bit. So it's not always a sort of been a stable position in the calendar.
No, give us the trends, Sean. What do you got for us?
Okay, so no number one seed has won here since Novak Djokovic in 2016. As you said, there's been some very big price winners and finalists. One of my best ever winners here, 500-1 Bashilashvili in 2021. That was, you're not going to get better than that. He was an absolute goat here, Bashilashvili. He made the final, I think, the year later at a much, much, much shorter price, but always used to love playing here. I don't know why, he just did. Corentin Moutet, 100-1, runner-up here as a qualifier in 2020. As you said, 33-1 Bautista Agut beat 66-1 Berdych in 2018. Only one qualifier has ever made the final here in over 20 years, and that, I think, was Corentin Moutet.
So, a few random results there. And let's look at the draw, see who are the most favourable players to win the tournament. And you might look paid to further down when you look at those trends. The top four seeds get buys through to the second round. And those top four seeds are number one seed Andrei Rublev, who has won here before. Karin Khachanov, a fellow Russian, he's in the bottom half. He's the number two seed. Number three seed is the Frenchman Hugo Humbert, who won a tournament a couple of weeks ago in Marseille. And Bublik, Alexander Bublik, who also is in good form as well, he's the number four seed. So the top half is Rublev, Humbert. Bottom half is Bublik, Khachanov. They are through to round two. The likely seeds in the top half of the draw to place, Rublev should play Davidovich Fokina if it went to the draw. Humbert will play Musetti. That completes the top half. Talon Griekspoor, who made the semifinals for us last week, he's travelled across from Holland in Rotterdam. It was a 50-1 shot. Give us a great run for the money, running to Yannick Sinner. He's in the bottom half of the draw. He will play Bublik. And then Jan-Lennard Struff will play Kachanov, looking at that draw, I mean, I don't think there's really much of an advantage in the top half or the bottom half, Sean, but let's have a look at the odds, see what you think there. Rublev is plus 250. Kachanov is $5. Umber is 6-1. Bublik is 750. Ruzavori is 12. Davidovic Rikina, 16. Talon Grigspor is 16. Fuksevich, 20. Andy Murray, 20. Chevchenko, who played quite well last week, he's 20. Then we have Gael Monfils at 22, Musetti 25, Schuff 25, Sonego 25, and 28-1, bar those players. What do you like here?
I think the bottom half's got possibilities, more possibilities than the top half. I want to oppose Bublik in Q3 here. Not most of his best work, pretty much all of his best work comes on either grass or indoor hard. Last 12 months an outdoor hard Bublik, 4-9 win loss and a 96 service points won and return points won total. It's going to be windy here. I could see him getting annoyed by it. It's not particularly quick. I want to take him on really this week, Bublik.
Especially if it's an early start.
As well, I don't think they do early starts here.
Well, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon that they start, I think, local time.
He might be all right with that, but because no one works before 11, so obviously he won't be doing that. I think this third quarter is where you want to be. I'm taking Alexei Popyrin in here at 28-1. I think there's quite a lot to like about his chances. He's beaten Bublik a couple of times. He's won both their previous meetings. One of them was in a final in Singapore, an indoor hard. And if he shows a similar level to what he showed in Australia when he really should have either beaten Novak Djokovic or at least pressed him to a fifth set. He had a chance to go 2-1 up against Djokovic in Australia. And he was in good form there. That sort of form is certainly good enough to go very deep at this particular tournament. The other thing I like about Popyrin is that I feel like he's at his best these days on slower surfaces, where his slightly questionable movement isn't quite so exposed. Perhaps explains why he's got a poor record on grass. He doesn't really like the low bounce and the sort of quicker movements. And the fact that he's only title so far has come on clay kind of supports that as well. You know, given that a lot of these matches are played at night, you feel like the conditions will suit Popyrin as long as he gets past the first couple of rounds. You've got Grigspor in here. There's got to be a come down from him, you would think, after Rotterdam. He played a lot of very long matches, didn't he? Musetti, Hercash. He's put everything he could into that Rotterdam run. Now there's got to be some sort of letdown, you feel. Fuksevich is possible, but he always sort of finds a way to lose when he's in a sort of good position. And his fitness is always, you know, a bit of a letdown. And he's got a poor head-to-head against Bublik. I think Bublik's 4-1 against Fuksevich, so he doesn't like the matchup with him. Looking slightly further ahead, Popyrin's got a pretty good record against Kachanov. I know he's lost two of their three matches, but he won their last one very easily in Tokyo a few months ago on outdoor hard. And the two that he lost to Kachanov were in final set tiebreak. So he's been a very, very tough opponent for Kachanov. So if he gets to that semi-final, he does get Kachanov, you'd give him a decent chance. If it's Ruusuvuori that comes through to the semi-final, because it could be on form, he's also beaten Ruusuvuori in their only career meeting. Excuse me. So I think there's a lot to like about Popyrin, 28-1.
Well, 28-1, Alexei Popyrin. Is that your? You're just going to go for the one there, Sean, or is there anything else you quite like, or just going to stick to the Australian?
Excuse me, my voice isn't great.
That's fine. No problem. Take some.
Yeah, Ruusuvuori is the one that I thought about, but 12-1, I think, is a bit short. So, yeah, 28's on Popyrin. That's where I'm going
to
go.
So we're going to go for 28-1 Popyrin for the tournament in Doha. Obviously, the scheduling is really, really important, as we said there. We do know some of the matches tomorrow. Head to the BetRivers website. There are a few matches there on the timing. So we know the time. 6:30 a.m. is the first match Eastern time. So it's a nice early start for you. Obviously, the tournament is in Doha, in Qatar. 6:30 a.m. Eastern time. There is a couple of matches that you like the look of or you want to speak about. And one of them is involving our tournament pick, Popyrin. He's in action at 11:20. He's a heavy favourite, -220 against now. I like the way you pick this one for me because you know I'm going to struggle here.
Abdella, I do it on purpose.
I thought you did. Abdella Shalbaya, is that correct? Shalbaya?
Abdella Shalbaya, yeah.
Abadela Shalbai is plus 170. The spread here is a 2.5 start for Shalbai at plus 104. Giving up 2.5, Popperring at -2.5 is minus 132. And the total is 22.5. Remember, there's 29 different markets available at BetRivers. And you can bet live and watch live on the BetRivers app. Place a bet and watch the match live from the comfort of your own home. We obviously like Popperring to win the tournament, so we're going to get with our man here. We're not going to bet him on the money line, I'm sure, at minus 220, no. But I think you found some other alternatives. Where's the best play here?
I think overs is very interesting here. I think Shalbai will do something decent in this particular match. He's been playing some good tennis lately, Shalbai. He's certainly a player that's improving. And of course, Popperin's not played since the Australian Open. I still think Popperin will win this match, but there are reasons to think that it might be a decent test. Firstly, Popperin's record against left-handers isn't great. 5-15 win-loss at main level against left-handers, which is not good. And a service points won and return points won total of 96. Lost 13 of his last 14. So terrible record against lefties. That's something he's got to overcome. Shelby's record at main level, you know, isn't that great. He's been improving in challengers, won a challenger last year, last season. Obviously, this is a big tournament for him. You know, he's from Jordan. This is his home tournament. He's got a wild card. He's obviously going to look to impress. Last year in this tournament, he took a set off Kwon, off Soonwoo Kwon, who had not long won Adelaide. So given the fact that Popperin's got a poor record against lefties, excuse me, I think this is a good chance for Shalbai.
Yep, Shalbai.
Never covered. Sorry, mate.
That's
Popperin's never covered -3.5 games in any best of three set match against a left-hander at main level. So that's an option, or the over games is an option. I think it's one that Popperin, I think, will win in the end, but I don't think it's going to be easy.
That's the stats we come here for. Look at that. Never covered 3.5 against a left-hander. 2.5 is the spread you want here, but 22.5 on the total, maybe a little bit of an over. Look at the first set overs as well. Could be a possibility. Popperin does play an awful lot of tie breaks. The next match we're going to speak about is actually tomorrow. We don't know the time yet, but it's Jean-Lennard Struff up against O'Connell. Struff is a favourite here at minus 162. O'Connell is plus 130. Struff is the number 6 seed here. The spread is 1.5. -1.5 for Struff is minus 127. O'Connell receiving 1.5 is even money. And the total here in Struff matches, as you would expect, quite high. 23.5 with over plus 102 and under minus 129. These two have met twice before. They met in the Australian Open in 2021. O'Connell won that match in straight sets. He is Australian, so he would have a bit of an advantage there. But when they played in a challenger event in 2023 last year, Struff won 6-1, 7-6. In the two matches they played, there has been three tie breaks, though. That would be where I'd be leaning towards. Sean, would you be sort of looking at that kind of market again here?
Possibly. I mean, as I said, it depends on the time of day as well. If it's a night match, you perhaps wouldn't fancy a tie break, but I quite like O'Connell here at this price. I think Struff's he's just not been the same player since he got yet another injury last season. A lot of people will remember he made the final in Madrid on the clay, quarterfinals in Monte Carlo, final in Stuttgart, probably should have won the title there. And then he was out for 3 months with what he described as not a small injury. He didn't actually say what it was, but since then his level, it's not been the same. Since the end of the grass season in 2023 to now, Struff's got 41% win rate and a service points won and return points won total of 99 and a service hold and break total of 97, breaking only 15% of the time. So those numbers are nowhere near the kind of data that saw him play so well in Madrid and Monte Carlo and Stuttgart. Since that injury, he's not been anywhere near that. O'Connell played really well in Australia at the start of the season, and he also played well in Doha last year. He only lost in the quarterfinal 7-5 in the third to Medvedev last year. He also played well in Dubai. So this is a tournament and a time of year that O'Connell's done well. We look at O'Connell in his last 12 months at main level, 49% win rate, a 99 service points won every 10 points won total, and a service hold break of 100. All those stats are better than the ones I just listed for Struff since his injury. So at this exact snapshot in time, O'Connell's playing the better tennis on those stats. So you would have to give O'Connell every chance. Struff, again, doesn't have a particularly great record in Doha, 4-5 win-loss. O'Connell is 5-3 win-loss. And if we look at the service points, one and return points, one totals of both these guys in this tournament, Struff is on 99, O'Connell's on 104. Both of those stats include qualifying matches. So every match they've played here in Doha. O'Connell, the slight concern is that he retired citing fatigue in Bahrain last week, but I don't know about that. Citing fatigue after one match after the Australian Open, I suspect that's more him perhaps feeling a slight injury and wanting to not risk his performance here in Doha, where he's played so well before. And obviously O'Connell's already beaten Struff in a big tournament, so I think there's a lot to like about O'Connell at these odds. Plus 130, I think he is with BetRivers.
Yep. O'Connell is plus 130. Is that an official pick?
Yeah, I'm happy to take that one, yeah.
So we've got two official picks in Doha. We're going to go for Popperin, Chef Bala over 22.5 goals.
That's not an official pick. The outright is official.
Okay, just the out. So we've just got the one pick, and our pick tomorrow is O'Connell to beat Struff. And that match is on Tuesday, so this will be going live on Sunday afternoon in stateside. But you'll have a 24 hours or so before you place that bet. That won't be in action until Tuesday, early morning on Tuesday. So you don't have to rush to the Bet Rivers website. But if you do, I'd suggest you do, because Sean's stuff does get moved. The line does move prices. And the man does move prices. And I'll move across the two tournaments. And as I said at the top of the show, we haven't got any outright markets, but we've got a tournament in Rio, which is the best tournament of the week in terms of stature. It's an ATP 2500 event. $2.3 million is up for grabs here, and the prize money. Carlos Alcaraz is the number one seed. Number two seed is Cam Norrie. It's always the case in these South American events, isn't it? Alcaraz number one seed, Cam Norrie number two. Number three seed is Nicolas Jarry, who beat Alcaraz, shot Alcaraz in Buenos Aires. Number four seed here is Cerundolo, another Argentinian. Number five seed, we have, I can't find number five. Baez in the top half. Number seven, Arthur Fils. And number eight is Offner. So the seeding is Alcaraz, Baez, Cerundolo, Jarry, top half of the draw. Fils against Jarry, Offner against Norrie. You've got to look in the bottom half of the draw if you're looking for some value, because Alcaraz is going to be a very low price favorite. Well done if you picked out Jarry this week in Buenos Aires, but Alcaraz will be returning as a favorite here. What's the trends here, Sean? And we haven't got any odds, but have you had a look at the draw in any way?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to talk about the conditions?
Yeah, sure.
Just talking about Buenos Aires, actually, I'm seething about Diaz Acosta. Now, I put him up the other week, didn't I, in Cordoba? Mm. At a big price. He's now made the final a week later in Buenos Aires at, 66-1?
Yeah.
Doesn't take much to annoy me. That certainly did. So the conditions, moving on to Rio. So it's usually a little bit slower, slowish kind of a clay court event. Maybe a touch quicker, actually, than Buenos Aires. And heat and humidity are often a big issue here. And they will be again this week. There's always a lot of thunderstorms around. It's very hot and humid. Players often struggle here, actually, coming from Buenos Aires to Rio, because they use different balls. They use head balls here. They use Wilson balls in Buenos Aires. So it's a different ball. It's usually quite higher bouncing here in Rio than it is in Buenos Aires. So players that have gone deep in Argentina, they do tend to struggle initially, at least, when they come to Rio. It averages 74% hold, 67.4% first serve points won, which puts it slightly quicker than Buenos Aires. Very few tie breaks, 30% of the matches only feature a tie break here. Slight trend to the overs, 52% of the matches in the last five editions have gone over 22.5 games. Normally a pretty good one for underdog winners, averages 38%. But the last 2 years have been disappointing, actually. They've not been up there. This tournament was averaging about 40-odd percent a couple of years ago, but now it's down to 38 because the last 2 years haven't been great. But I imagine there's going to be a fair few kind of stoppages here, because there are quite a lot of thunderstorms expected, but you never know whether they're going to hit the local area or not. As far as trends are concerned in the outrights, Alcaraz is the only top seed to have made the final here since Nadal in 2014. And qualifiers have made the semifinals and the finals in two of the last 3 years here. The winner, as far as the champion is concerned, there's only been one champion bigger price than 12-1 in the last six editions, and that was when Jarry won it in 2019 at 66-1.
Yep. So there's all you need to know. We haven't got any odds, but
talk about how, sort of the draw and that.
If you were looking at the draw now, and obviously I'm guessing that we're concentrating very heavily on the bottom half.
Yeah.
Because obviously Alcaraz, if you look at the previous winners, Cam Norrie won it last year, beat Alcaraz. Alcaraz won it in 2022. Garin has won it in 2019. We've had, who else did win it? What's it, the I can't remember the guy, Schwartzman won it as well. Dominic Thiem has been a winner here. But, you know, I'm looking at this draw and you've got to be in the bottom half of the draw, I think, for the each way that BetRivers is offering. So, I mean, Jarry must be exhausted after Buenos Aires. Norrie,
he's not even finished yet. And he's got Santiago next week, by the way. That's his home tournament.
Yeah, and Norrie I could never trust, and despite being the defending champion here. But I don't know, what are your thoughts?
He didn't go so well last week, did he? Norrie lost to Correa, wasn't it? Correa is unbelievable renaissance, really, him. I mean, I say unbelievable. He does have some peaks and troughs, Correa. He's got to be absolutely exhausted this week. He's playing a qualifier, Correa, actually. So that might
be
interesting.
He's in that bottom of the draw as well. He's looked at everybody.
If he wins this tournament, Correa, that would be an unbelievable effort. The amount of tennis he's played in the last month would be incredible. I'd like to see who that qualifier is, actually, against Correa. I might be tempted to take him on. But this bottom half looks much more open, doesn't it? Arthur Fils, you know, great player, but does he have the experience in these sort of South American conditions? You wouldn't have thought so. If he does, you know, take to it and he wins a couple of rounds and he gets into it, then he's certainly got a strong chance. But I imagine he's going to be a relatively short price. Norrie didn't look great last week. Might strip better this week here. Maybe conditions and the ball suit him better here than they do in Buenos Aires. That's possible. But I think if you're looking at a big prize, I haven't seen any odds yet. I think the two that kind of stand out, that if they have a good week, and they're certainly not in good form, Saboth Wild, who we'll talk about in a minute, he's in terrible form, but it wouldn't surprise me if he lit it up this week. Christian Garin, if he's fit, you know, he hasn't been fit for a while. If he is fit, those two have got, if they're fit and they're on their best form, I think those two have got live chances. But you are taking a bit of a punt. But as I said, I've not seen the prices yet.
Yeah, no prices are out, but look at the bottom there, half there. We're going to come on to some matches where we do have prices, but looking for Sean Nesaf, they're wild, like, terrible form at the moment, but we're going to hear the reasons why there could be some value. And Garin, obviously, is a former winner here, and, you know, he's a player that on his day is more than capable. So looking for somebody to make the final. We do believe Alcaraz will be a minus money favourite. He will be a minus money favourite. He's going to be looking to revenge that defeat in Argentina and looking for someone who could reach the final and land a nice price on the each way betting. If you're new to the each way betting, it means you have two bets. One bet is on the winner market, one bet is to make the final, which is a half the odds usually on the player to the odds to make the final. So if you're 16-1, you'll be getting 8-1 to make the final. So that's where we believe the value lies here. But there are two matches in Rio, as you mentioned there, and the first one we want to touch on is the match that you also talked about there. Now, when you put this through, I just thought that you would be making a huge case for Tabilo on the money line, because the form for Seth Badwild is so bad. I thought there's no way Sean could be making a case for him here. You can. And that surprises me. So Tabilo is -148. Seth Badwild is +118. The spread is -1.5. -118 for Tabilo, -1.5. And Seth Badwild, -108, +1.5. The total is 22.5. When I say he's bad, I mean he's only won one of his last 10 matches, hasn't won a match on clay. And he's only won one match on hard court all this year. Tabilo obviously had a brilliant run to the Australian Open. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, someone looking at this purely from the eye test of what we've seen so far this year, they'd be rushing a bit with us to bet Tabilo. But Sean, he's making the case for Seth Badwild.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to look at slightly deeper and sort of other factors. Saboth Wild's on a poor run of form at the minute, but most of those were on hard, where, you know, he's not at his best. But even on hard, he showed what he actually could do if he could be bothered, quite frankly, at the Australian Open when he took Rublev to five sets. He's a big match player. He seems to me like he's not that keen on the sort of the run-of-the-mill tour events, certainly not on hard courts. You know, he's just looking at his record here. Yeah, it's certainly poor, but that doesn't worry me. He's a big match player. He loves the big stage. He's shown it numerous times. And at home here in Brazil, I expect him to put in a performance. He's only played three main draw matches in this tournament so far in his career, but he's performed very well in them. Beat Alejandro Davidovich Fokina in one of them. Lost in a final set tiebreak to Borna Koric in another one of them. And then lost in two tiebreakers to Carbajal Baena. In those three matches, against very decent opposition. It was points won in return, points won totals 102. So when the motivation's there, the level is there. I know he's very hit and miss, but the other thing that makes me lean towards the value on Saboth Wild here is that he's got a very good record on clay against left-handers such as Tabula. He's won 13 of his last 14 matches at all levels against lefties, with the one defeat coming in five sets at the French Open to Nishioka when his legs went in the fifth. He was 2-1 up in that, and he had nothing to give in the fifth. Excuse me. Tableau's played a lot of tennis already this season, as you said. He did look tired last week in the final set of a loss to Ljajovic in Buenos Aires. So, you know, if anyone's legs are going to go this time, you would expect it to be Tableau. So, happy to take the underdog odds on Saboth here.
Yeah, plus 170 is the price you can get for Sepa Wild on the money line. The spread is 2.5 plus 104 if you want to play a little bit more conservative. The other match we've got here is Ljajovic. Sorry, the plus 118. I give you the wrong price there. Plus 118 for Saboth Wild, and plus 1.5 is minus 108. I was giving you the price for the Popperin match. The next match and the final match at Rio, Ljajovic against Galan. Ljajovic, a decent player on clay. Galan is a decent player on clay. Ljajovic is minus 148. Galan is plus 118. The spread here is minus 118 and plus 108. It's exactly the same odds as the Tibula match with over 22.5. This time minus 110, under minus 115. They've never met each other before. All these matches at Rio start at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. We do not know the order of play yet. Well, the order of play will be announced later on this evening, but 2:30 p.m. is the time the action starts. We don't know if these games will be on today, on Monday or Tuesday, but 2:30 is the time you want to be heading across the Bet Rivers. What do you like here, Sean?
It's not what I normally like, but I quite like the favourite here. On the main level clay stats of the last 12 months, Ljajovic looks a pretty good favourite. I expect him to be perhaps a squeak shorter. Last 12 months on clay at main level, Ljajovic, service points won and return points, one total of 100. Service hold and break total of 100. Win rate of 56%. Alahi Galan. Sorry about my voice,
by
the way.
No, it's fine. I feel bad to keep you on here, mate.
I can do it. It's just, yeah, it goes a bit peculiar. Alahi Galan, service points won and return points, one total 96. So 4 points down on Ljajovic. A hold and break total of just 91 and a win rate of 33%. So a significant advantage for Ljajovic in all of those stats in the last 12 months on clay at main level. Here in Rio at the main draw, Galan's only played 3 matches, so it's perhaps not a great comparison, but his service points won and return points total is 95. Ljajovic is 100. I just feel like Ljajovic is playing the better tennis at the minute. Galan's, he's won a couple of matches. One of them was against Schwartzman, who sounded so depressed after he lost to Galan. I'm surprised he's even playing this week. I think he's in Los Cabos, isn't he, Schwartzman? Yeah. He sounds like he's at the absolute end of his tether, Schwartzman. I wouldn't be surprised if he retired soon. And Echeverry beat him, you know, very, very comfortably. I've seen nothing from Alahi Galan of late that makes me feel like he could win this match, unless Ljajovic has a poor day. Not normally my sort of bet, but I'm tempted with Ljajovic minus 2.5 games here at round about even money.
Yep, minus 2.5 games is the bet. Ljajovic, you can play the minus 1.5 at minus 118. If you want to get a bit of plus money, it's minus 2.5. So that's it from Rio. That's only our second tournament week. The final tournament is over in Los Cabos in Mexico. This is is it a 250 event, but it's a decent looking 250 again. There's some big names here, actually. It's very, yeah. Some big names. Alexander Zverev is the number one seed. He gets a bye. The top four seeds get a bye through to the second round. So Zverev is through to round number two, where he will join Alex de Minaur, who's the number three seed, who's just come through a big, big week. He's number three seed, went deep last week. The number four seed is Casper Ruud in the bottom half of the draw. And the number two seed is Stefanos Tsitsipas. The Tsitsipas is a defending champion. He won it last year. Medvedev won it in 2022. He's not in action. Cam Norrie's not in action. He won it in 2021. Diego Schwartzman won it in 2019. We said he's got to qualify. It'd be interesting to see who he plays. And then Fognini won it in 2018. But in 2017 and 2016, there were some big servers who won it. Big serving Sam Querrey won it in 2016. The Croat, Ivo Karlovic, won it. So that would suggest to me, Sean, it's quite quick.
No, it's not.
No, okay. Right.
I remember that Querrey win. He won that with a insane draw. There was so loaded. He's part of the draw. I think he beat Nadal, and Nadal was in there, and Kyrgios and all these guys, and Querrey ended up winning it. They've moved this in the schedule, which perhaps doesn't help with gauging conditions. It used to be in the summer, around about sort of July sort of time, but they've now, and this seems like quite a rare sensible move for me from the ATP. They've put it next to Acapulco, which is next week, as a sort of mini warm up for Indian Wells, and that makes good sense because it's not that quick here, it's not that quick in Acapulco, unless they've changed the conditions, which I wouldn't have thought so. It's played on a sort of quite slowish Solflex outdoor hard court. There's quite high bouncing, so similar conditions to Indian Wells. So it does make sense that they're playing it before Indian Wells. Averages 79% hold, 72.4% first serve points won, puts it, you know, medium slow at best. 37% of the matches feature tiebreaks, and generally speaking, it's not a great tournament for underdog backers. Only 27% of the underdogs have won in Los Cabos. Weather looks all right, 26 degrees to 28 degrees all week, you know, no major problems. As far as the trends are concerned, it has tended to go to one of the top guys. One of the top three seeds has won Los Cabos every single year so far, and the number one seed's won it the last 3 years in a row. So it's not normally the place you would go for a bit of betting value, Los Cabos.
Yeah, so maybe look for the favourites there. And the favourite to win the tournament, I'm guessing, would be Alexander Zverev. He is the number one seed. He would be the favourite of the tournament. In the top half of the draw, if we go to seedings, it would be Zverev, Safelin, Dumanoir against Jordan Thompson, Purcell against Casper Ruud, Kecmanovic against Stefanos Tsitsipas. Now, if I was looking at this draw maybe 18 months ago or maybe a year ago, I would just look at Tsitsipas and think, what a draw. He cannot fail to get to the final. That draw has opened up for him. But this is Tsitsipas. This is the 2024 version of Tsitsipas. What do you like here?
Well, the 2023 version wasn't that great, was it, in the end?
Yeah.
Tsitsipas. Started all right, but, you know,
He won it here, didn't he?
The end. Well, he did. I think it was one of the only tournaments he won last year, wasn't it? And it was one of the few highlights of his later season. He started well, but I don't know. He certainly went off course, didn't he, towards the latter stages. The mid to end of last year wasn't that great for him. Just looking at the draw, you would think the obvious thing to say would be that Alex de Minaur is going to be tired.
Yep.
After everything that he's gone through in Rotterdam. He kind of made this, I want to say mistake, but he kind of did this last year. He arrived at Indian Wells absolutely dead last year after he won Acapulco, which is also due to play this year, I believe. So if he's, after that Rotterdam effort, he's now got to come to slow conditions here in Los Cabos and slow conditions again in Acapulco and then Indian Wells. You wouldn't have thought something's got to give some way. He's got to learn. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't show up this week, or if he did show up, it was a kind of a not great effort. So the other ones that we're looking at here, that top half is loaded, isn't it? You've got Jack Draper in there. You've got Zverev. You've got Safelin. Safelin's the one that I think, I haven't seen the prices, but I imagine he's perhaps the one that will appeal when the prices do come out. He crushed Zverev, I think, didn't he, last time he played him? Beat him very easily, I think, if memory serves me correctly. He's got Dan Evans in the first round, who doesn't seem fit, does he? Last week was very disappointing in Delray Beach. As I say, de Minaur's not fit. You wouldn't have thought Jordan Thompson would be up to it. Schwartzman certainly isn't. Mickelson is an interesting proposition there in that second quarter. If de Minaur doesn't show up or shows up slightly leggy, Mickelson could be interesting there. He's perhaps, him and Safelin are perhaps the two that I'd be looking at once I've seen the odds and kind of evaluated them. Those are the two that stand out. In the bottom half, I think it's quite open. I mean, Casper Ruud, you would have thought would go well in these sort of conditions, slowish, high bouncing. You would think it would suit him. You know, he's not too fatigued. He hasn't played for a while. Marcus Giron's in really good form as well, though. I mean, he could be a tough test for Casper Ruud. Max Purcell has caused Casper Ruud an awful lot of problems when they've played, but you would think it'd perhaps be too slow and high bouncing for Purcell this week. Kecmanovic, you know, you never know, do you remind me of Kecmanovic? He's such a hard guy to kind of win with and to find much value in. And Tsitsipas, yeah, too short. He's going to be too short for me, Tsitsipas, when he does come out. So, difficult one without seeing the odds, but, I mean, Safelin and Mickelson, maybe are the ones if you go in against the grain in the top half.
Yeah, Saffolin Mikkelsen, and I quite like Giron, but he's also another player who's played an awful lot of tennis. Been really impressed with him in the recent
years. Great form, yeah, why not?
And I think Mikkelsen's going to be a superstar, they really do. So, that, well, not when I say superstar, I mean, I think he's a top 20 player. I think he's got a good future coming along. So, yeah, I mean, there will be odds available with the Bet Rivers website, and just looking at the draw, Saffolin and Mikkelsen in the top half and potentially Giron in the bottom half of the draw, would be the bet we expect. Tsitsipas to be extremely sure. I'm guessing probably about 4-1. Casper Ruud, I think, will be a sort of similar kind of price to Tsitsipas. So there got to be some each way value alternatives between those two players. So yeah, head across to the BetRivers website when it does come live, and it will be live later on this evening on Sunday. So at the time of recording, unfortunately, there is no odds available on the tournament over in Los Cabos. We do have a match that interests you, Sean. It's Kopfer up against Borges. He's probably our most popular man at the moment in 2024, Borges. We always talk about Borges in these shows so far.
Yeah, we do at the minute.
Yeah, Kopfer is -150. Borges is +120. The spread is 1.5, -125 for Kopfer. Giving up the 1.5, Borges receives 1.5. He's -110. And the total here is very high. 23.5 is the line, with over -110 and under the price here at -150. We don't know the order of play yet, but it will be 2:30 tomorrow Eastern time. And we don't know if this will be tomorrow or the following day, but this will be a first round match. They have met once before, and it was in Antwerp last year, and Borges won 7-6, 6-4. There has been a bit of money around on the early flurries. There's only a little bit of trading activity at the moment, and all the early money has been for Borges here.
Has it? I'm not surprised, actually. What odds is he now then, Borges?
Well, Bet Rivers are currently the best price in the land at +120. That price will be under pressure.
+120. Yeah, I can see why I am tempted with Borges here. Kopfer looks short in price, considering he was ill last week and withdrew from Delray Beach. And the week before that, he had his knee strapped up in Dallas the week before. So he's always an injury concern, Kopfer. He very rarely is he in full fitness. Then you look at the fact that Borges beat Kopfer in what were quite lively conditions in Antwerp. I was there at the end of last season. And obviously, so he's beating him on a decent pace court as Borges. And now you would think the slower conditions would suit Borges more than a quick indoor hard court. Allied to that, Borges has got a pretty strong record against left-handers so far in his career. 7-2 win-loss at main level, Borges against left-handers. Incidentally, he's played at least one tiebreak in 8 of those 9 matches as well. 0.46 tiebreaks per set he's played against left-handers at main level. That's interesting statistic as well. Both been in good form lately, but if you look at the last 10 main level matches, it's actually slight advantage to Borges. Service points 110, points 1 total 98, Kopfer 97. So with all that in mind, I'm not surprised that the money's coming for Borges. I would put this at best, a sort of even money match. My lean here would certainly be for Borges.
Yeah, Borges is +120. If you're going to take Sean's lean, you need to head across quickly, because I think by the time we drop this video, that price might be under a lot of pressure. But anything above, anything at plus money, we think Borges is probably a decent bet there. Not an official pick for us. It's only our lean. Just quickly, Sean, I know, I really appreciate your time. I know you're not feeling too great, but what are your
all right, it's my
picks?
Voice that can't hold up. I'm okay. My voice isn't so great.
What's your official picks this week?
Okay, so let me just open Doha again. So outright on Doha, 28-1 thereabouts each way, Alexei Popyrin to win that tournament. And the match bet there is O'Connell to beat Struff, around about +130. That is with Bet Rivers. And then we move over to Rio. I'm taking a chance on Saboth Wild. I'm not sure what odds he is currently, about 2.2-ish, +120.
118.
Yeah, that's 118. Okay. Very similar, yeah. So, yeah, Saboth Wild against, as underdog against Tabalo in Rio.
Yeah, remember to keep ahead of all the content. I mean, the subscribers have been fantastic on the YouTube channel. Thank you very much for everyone who subscribed. Keep your comments coming in. Any questions? Usually the questions, where did Sean get his knowledge from? Where did he get his stats from? I think he's told him many times before, and there he gets those stats from. Remember to download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, on your preferred podcast provider. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Betting Weekly Studios, and give us a follow on our socials, which are at Twitter and Instagram, at Because We Win. There is some great content coming this week. I did a great show with Roy Giovanni looking at the women's tour, looking at the event this week in Dubai, and where he's got a nice big 150-1 pick there as well. The Champions League soccer is really hotting up. We're placing the quarterfinals up for grads. The boys are back next week, looking ahead to that, and I'll be joining Sean, hopefully health permitting, his voice can hold up, on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll be looking at the matches across all three tournaments on the men's tour. Sean, again, thank you very much for your time. I know it's been a tough 45 Pleasure. Minutes or so with your voice, but really appreciate you coming on.
I've only got another 90 days left of this.
Well, fun. I was just to say, poor old Natasha, only 89 days to go. You'll be all right, mate. Enjoy your rest of your day. Head to the BetRivers website when those lines come available, and good luck with all your bets.